Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, DFW. We're an hour two of the Fan After Dark. Fred Davis getting his headphones put in here because he had to get some hot tea, Fred?
That's it.
Had to do what he had to do.
Business, boys and girls, taking care of business here on 105.3 The Fan. From the 469, TikTok can get you canceled and put on blast. From the 972, hey, Fred and Blake, y'all talked about Kamar in the last segment. He actually pitched well by only giving up singles, but his infield defensive mates kind of let him down. That's from our boy Latret. No, he absolutely did. Look, I'm, you guys know me. I am cautiously optimistic about Kamar Rocker. We've already talked about how this you know, your starting four pitchers are maybe the four best in baseball, or definitely in the conversation, top three, top four. I don't think that's hyperbolic to suggest that. If you tell me that Kamar Rocker, who I have said on these airwaves will have a Jack Leiter-like season from a year ago, where he will move over into that conversation, and if you can get three, you know, I mean, because look, Leiter was your number three guy last year, and if you get that kind of performance from Kamar Rocker as your five. And then, oh, by the way, one guy we forgot to mention, and I said, you know, and I meant to, and I teased this, but, you know, if it comes to that, Jacob Latz could be your closer. Jacob Latz could, I'm not saying you want him as your closer, but I'm telling you right now, because, does he have a strikeout pitch? Absolutely. Does he have that confidence where, because, look, the thing about when you're about being a closer is you got to have that mentality of you're going to go shut things down. And that's the thing about Jacob Latz.
0 for 28 batters
are. He's a guy that wants to shut you down. He wants to be a starter. He wants to be that guy. And it's like, look, okay, well, maybe I can't have you be that fifth starter this year, but I'll tell you what, equally important
you're
is
a high leverage closer in a deep playoff run.
You're my high leverage guy to go ahead and shut things down. Hey, you could do a lot worse. I mean, again, say what our boy Chris Young, you just wonder if, and look, we've roasted him here. We have questioned, okay, what are you doing, CY? You know that you didn't have a closer last year. You went into it again this year. You still did the same damn thing. But right now, you're making do with what you got. And looking impressed, outside of Chris Martin spitting the bit a few nights ago against
Chris Martin didn't need to be on the mound no more.
Well, I don't mind Chris Martin being on the mound, but not in the ninth inning. I can live with Chris Martin being on the mound in the sixth or seventh inning. You know, Chris Martin is a savvy vet. You don't pitch for as long as this guy has by being a bum. But I just don't want him in the ninth inning.
Is Jacob Latz, if he went to being a closer, I was thinking, does he want that ego punch? But then I was like, wait, other than being an ace, is that probably the second best thing you can be on a baseball team as a pitcher? Probably? Like, as far as popularity goes and your ego and how important you are to the team, if you will?
I mean, look, you get your own music.
Yeah, and the casual fan will know you. More than the fifth starter, if you're the everyday closer, not the everyday closer, if you're the closer.
If Jacob Latz were to become the closer for your Texas Rangers.
That'd be the peak of his popularity.
And was the guy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this team is balling. I mean, Jacob Latz is
that's cooler than being the fifth starter.
That's a lot cooler than being the fifth starter.
Okay.
That's a lot cooler than being
even being the second starter. Like the second guy in line.
I mean, if he becomes that kind of guy,
I
want to make this very clear. Okay, before I start throwing out hell that, you know, like, I mean, and again, whether it was an Eric Gagne back in the day, whether it was a, you know, he's not a Rivera, let's make that clear, but like a Trevor Hoffman, okay, I'm trying to think, and I'll think back to
no Neftali Feliz-Love.
I'm trying to think of the Royals closer back in
dadgummit, in 2015 when they won the World Series.
Come on, Trevor.
They had a 7-8-9 guy. Well, Chris Young was on that team. Chris Young was a reliever on that 2015 Royals team.
Chris Young's a pretty tall guy.
I mean, he is.
Him and Vrabel.
Not really sure what those two have to do with each other, but so yeah, I
bottle water. That's all I gotta say.
I would have zero issue if it came to that. If Kamar Rocker establishes himself as that five, where we're not sitting there. Like, yes, we were all excited about what happened on this past Saturday, but again, I think we're going to need three or four starts from Kamar before we all feel like uber comfortable that, okay, yeah, this guy's definitely that fifth guy. And if he does establish himself as that, and then you say to yourself, all right, you know, then you get Cody Bradford back, you get Jordan Montgomery back. Now all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, okay, we've got a plethora of
ship a guy off for somebody at that point.
Well, I mean, look, if it comes to that,
if everybody's back healthy and you got too many, someone said Greg Holland,
that's who I was thinking of, not Quisenberry. That's hilarious. That's old school right
there.
What
a name.
No, your closer does have to be a dog. And I'm with you. And 903, you hit the nail on the head. Your closer has to be – well, to your point, he has to be – you know, when you've got an ace, whether it's an Evo or a DeGrom, you know, or hell, a Mackenzie Gore at this point, like, your guy has to go out there with stones. Like, I'm going there to shut you down. Same thing with your closer. Your closer has to go out there like, boom, hey.
And you're going to have to face the Dodgers, the Yankees, the...
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? I mean, look, the Yankees are obviously right now the kind of the favorite. I mean, hell, the whole AL East is between the Blue Jays and the Yankees right now are the betting favorites to win. And, of course, you got the Detroit Tigers who have gotten a guy. And I haven't looked at the Detroit Tigers here as of late because they look like they've gotten off.
Tigers are 4-7.
Yeah, Tigers have gotten off to a slow start.
They're fourth in the Central.
Yeah, they're sitting there. I mean, hell, don't sleep on the Guardians, dude. I'll tell you what. All they do is win, 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 no matter what. But shout out to the Rangers, man. 7-5, game and a half lead over the Astros. I mean, there's no reason. And again, I know it's early, but I tell you what. The Rangers can win this division. The Rangers can absolutely win this division. I don't think there's any question about it. All right, speaking of winning. Emmett Smith.
He's a winner.
He's a winner, and then some. He was on with the morning show, and we're going to talk. We'll probably get into the 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock hour. Now, we've got a bunch of cuts here. We'll talk about the other stuff that he talked about just as far as his rushing record and, you know, Troy Aikman and all this other stuff. But let's start off with 12-20, and I'm going to read a text here, and I'll probably read a tweet here in just a second from Jordan Schultz that I think should make Cowboy fans happy. Now, depending upon how the Cowboys go about this draft remains to be seen, but this is Emmett Smith talking about what do you want the Cowboys to do at 12-20.
We can get enamored with 12 as much as we want to and talk about certain players. Unless you have that guy at 12, the guy that will make a major difference at the linebacker core, or a major difference at the defensive end side. Or he better be that guy at the cornerback spot. If he's not that guy, trade down and get more guys. Because if you won't hear the Cowboys say this, but you about to rebuild that defense.
Yeah.
And if you're going to rebuild that defense, you need to get the skilled guys, younger guys, that you got a brand-new coach that can come in and learn a new system. You got veteran players that can adjust to a new system. And you make the combination of those two things work for you. And then you fill in the blanks on the offensive side that can help shore up that offensive line so you can continue to build upon the success that you had last year. And that goes at the O-line. That goes at the running back spot, backups here and there. You got to have guys in here that can make your offense become multidimensional, make your defense become a lot more solid and a lot more disciplined. You got a brand-new D coordinator coming in, which is warranted. And if you see that happen, and you see the Cowboys' defense get back to some level of consistency and dominance, 20% of what they were last year.
Yes.
This team could have been in the playoff.
Couple questions. One, that audio made me feel uncomfortable. How, like, I don't know what it was about that audio. I don't know if it was so clear or what. I could hear everybody's mics moving, them gulping.
Well, they were doing it in the end zone.
Of where?
What do you mean in where?
The end zone of what?
Our end zone.
Fred's office.
Ah. Okay. You had an audio, maybe feel uncomfortable. Was that Sean in the back saying yeah?
Yeah.
Sound like Sean. And then I guess a crazy take by Emmett. If a blue chip player isn't there, a 12 trade back and get more players. I mean, sure. I think we all knew that before he said that. Guys, if the player is not groundbreaking, don't pick an average player. Crazy theory. Trade back just because you want to. Just trade back and get multiple picks. Multiple picks. You heard it here first from Emmett Smith.
That's the Emmett Smith. All right, real quick. This is from Jordan Schultz. The expectations among many NFL teams is that the 2026 draft will be one of the more trade-heavy drafts in recent memory, according to multiple league sources. Specifically, on the defensive side of the ball, edge, cornerback, and linebacker are all strong deep, while wide receivers typically considered to be the most talented offensive position. Several executives I've spoken with believe we're likely to see a flurry of activity in the first half of round one. Additionally, because the specific draft lacks depth in the later rounds, many teams plan to pursue extra day two and early day three picks per league
now,
sources.
This is interesting because didn't we hear the complete opposite of this? Not too long ago, we had someone on that said there won't be heavily trades. I think we asked about it because there isn't, this draft class isn't top loaded, and the what people are loving about this draft is not the high end talent, but more the bulk of it, and saying in that 25 to 70 range, you can get some good players rather than
That's just it. After 70, though, there's a drop off. Is kind of what the deal is. That's why people are going. That's why he's saying after second and third round.
Yeah.
I guess the point is this:
the first half draft trading up kind of confused me. And I could see people trading for early second round picks, but from everything we've heard about this draft is it's not top end heavy. It's more. The bulk of it is kind of the love. Now they're saying like people are going to be trading in the first half of the first round and getting these high picks and trading players left and right. And we all said there's not very many blue chip, can't miss prospects.
It's not that there's so many blue chip can't miss, but the top 12 guys stand out more. I mean, this thing's really 12 or 13 deep. Like, let's put it this way. Everybody pretty much agrees on who the top 12 picks are. Mm-hmm. Right?
What order? Yeah, we can disagree, but yeah, agree. The top 12 players.
Well, that's what I mean. The top 12 players, right? I mean, we all look. Mansoor Delane's going to go.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reuben Bain's not slipping past 12.
I would say
Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese.
I would say top 11. I would say I'm just semantics. I would say top 11 though, because I'm just looking at the big board in front of us, the consensus board. We can name the Reese, Downs, Mendoza, Bailey, Jeremiah Love, Styles, Reuben Bain, Francis Maoga, Carnell Tate, Mansoor Delane, boom.
Yeah.
Spencer Fanneau probably in there with the top tackle.
Yeah.
So there's 11. And then Mekhi Lemon, you've heard controversial things.
Hey,
Jordan Tyson, you've heard controversial things. Monroe Freeling, from Georgia. Jermaine McCoy, that's where it starts getting kind of iffy with some of these guys. I've seen them at 12, and I've seen them at the second round. I've seen them at the back end of the first. So I think top 11 is pretty solidified. It really, when it gets to the Cowboys pick, are they going to reach on a guy? A Jermaine McCoy, a Thieneman, somebody else, a Kendrick Falk, and a Key Mezzador? Or are they going to trade back, like Emmett Smith said? Or is the guy going to fall to them?
I don't think Emmett's breaking any news here when he says that. I mean, I think he just... I think he's echoing what everybody else is saying. Yeah. Like, look,
Kendrick Falk at 20.
And I don't want Cassius Howell.
I don't want Dylan Thieneman at 20. At 12. Excuse me. I said
no.
20.
No, I don't think there's any way you're getting Thieneman at 12.
I'm looking at a mock draft right now. That's got him taking him at 12.
Who? Like, whose mock draft is
NFL
it?
Tankathon? So just in general.
I like Tankathon.
I like Tankathon.
All right, let's hear the rest.
Non-biased. They're not getting scoops for scoops.
Look, Albert Breer's got Kenyon Sadiq going 9.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I will be dancing a jig.
Over the lane?
1,000%.
Y'all do be moving on from corner to center 2 years anyway.
Because Rashee Rice said in a live stream yesterday or over the weekend that he wants JSN money. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So
and the crazy thing is, I do think they're just both just as talented. Like Rashee Rice can be just as good as JSN.
No, Rashee Rice.
If you watch him on the field, it's not like Rashee Rice is
talent wise. Rashee Rice is a top five talent.
Yeah.
Talent.
Yeah.
Now,
but there's a lot of talent
between the shoulders and all that that goes along with
looking
it.
At a third round pick.
Because here's the thing. Here's the difference between Rashee Rice and George Pickens. All right, is George Pickens. We knew going into before he got traded to the Cowboys, like, no, this guy can play. He's just had a bunch of turd Fergusons at quarterback. But you never heard of any drama from him off the field. He just did little goofy stuff on the field, right? And look, Chiefs fans wish the worst thing you had to deal with was Rashee Rice was him being late to meetings.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, let's put it this way. You've never seen George Pickens cause, you know, 3 or 4 car pileups on 75. You've never seen George Pickens' baby mama showing bruises of her on Instagram.
The worst was thrown up in Vegas.
I mean, if that's the worst.
Just boys being boys.
I mean, you'll live with that. I mean, again, it's not ideal, but if you're power ranking, okay, my guy's got criminal cases versus, okay, he's just out getting crunk with the fellas. Yeah. What are you going to take all day, every day?
He was with CD. Teammates were still together.
And he was still with his boys.
Speaking of CD, today's CD's birthday.
Happy birthday to Sadarian Lamb. All right. Emmitt Smith, more from him when we come back. Don't go anywhere. More hot takes. Emmitt Smith, don't go anywhere. What's up, Trevor?
Hi.
How was your weekend?
It was all right. Nothing amazing, nothing great.
All right,
great.
We've heard enough.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Joking. Gah. I joke.
Oh, Trevor the creator.
I make us smile.
We're going to be at White Guy Radio. We'll be at Alliance Hyundai this Saturday from 10 to 2. Myself, Will Chambers, and a third white guy, Eric Chiafalo.
Okay, WGR.
WGR. In fact, and then I want to say you'll have... I want to say Ross will be the engineer.
Very white.
Also uber white. So that's 4 white dudes right there. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably a white dude back here at the station.
Probably. I don't think we have any dark-skinned producers part-time. We have Alec Medford.
Other than Black Adam.
We have Black Adam and Alec Medford, so... That's the only 2 dark-skinned producers I know about that are part-time.
The only 2 that we got here. I don't think Black Adam works on Saturday.
Nah, he doesn't. We get it off. It's our day. Have you ever seen Black Adam Blake or Alec Medford here on a Saturday recently? It's our day, African Heritage.
That's exactly it. Although we will see Black Adam tonight, and I do have a what are these called? Gift card.
Wow. You know what I randomly just pulled up? The 2024 NBA draft. That's where Zachary Risache.
What a bum. Wow.
Number 1 overall. And you said he shouldn't have gone number 1. Who do you think should have? I got the draft in front of me. Alex Sarr. He's been better than people give him credit for. He's playing at Washington and they suck. Reed Sheppard, who's been
He's been good for the Rockets. Yeah. I mean, coming off the bench, he's
but
so
third,
small.
But third
yeah,
overall.
First overall, yeah, no.
Stephon Castle, who's the 4th pick by the Spurs. Would he be your pick right now?
If you're Atlanta, you'd be feeling a whole hell of a lot better about Stephon Castle than you would be Ricochet.
Ron Holland?
No.
To Johnny Salone to the Hornets, 6th overall.
That sounds like a slur you just said.
Donovan Klingon, 7th to the Blazers.
Yeah, no.
Rob Dillingham, 8th. Spurs drafted him, then he went to the Timberwolves, and he still hasn't carved out playing time. Zach Edey went 9th. I mean, he might be. Him and Klingon are. I mean, Stephon Castle's the best so far.
Stephon Castle's the runaway favorite.
Cody Williams went 10th, and he's been. I mean, he's played for the tanking Jazz, and he only really gets in when they're tanking.
Which tells you all you need to know.
Matas Buzelis, we like him.
From the Bulls?
From the Bulls, he went 11th.
He'd probably be number 2.
I'd say he'd be 2 or 3, maybe behind Edey or Klingon.
I mean, I'd probably take him over. Redraft. I mean, I would take him over those two. I mean, I like him.
Nikola Topic, Thunder. He's the one who had cancer and came back and played for the Thunder the other day. So yeah. We've seen him in like three games.
I was going to say, we don't know enough about him.
Devin Carter.
Yeah, I mean, what a horrible draft. I mean, the more we look at it, this might be one of the worst drafts in recent memory.
Bub Carrington, who goes off for the Washington every once in a while. A Khalil Ware. I think he'd be top five.
Top
pick.
Five, yeah.
He plays for the Heat.
For the Heat.
Jared McCain, who almost won Rookie of the Year. Then got traded.
He'd be
to the
top
Thunder.
Five. Yeah. He'd be a top five pick.
Dalton Kanek. What a fall off.
I mean, his
rookie year, bro.
And
he was looking like Conchinopoul the first couple of months.
He really was. Or at the very least, like a poor man's Austin Reeves.
Yeah, and then just and ever since the trade.
Ever since that trade, man, that dude is, I mean, you got to get out of there.
I mean, we don't even hear his name, even bad publicity. You don't even hear, if you don't follow basketball super intensely, you would never hear his name again.
How many minutes a game is he at?
We'll have to look that
year?
Up. Tristan Da Silva doesn't play for the Magic. Jacoby Walter barely plays for the Raptors. Jalen Tyson does play for the Cavs. Yavis Misi, he's a starter for the Pelicans. He's their center. Yeah. Honestly, the middle of the draft was better. The teens were better than the top 10. Darren Holmes doesn't play. A.J. Johnson.
What about John Holmes?
A.J. Johnson, 23 overall. That's
a
Maverick.
Hey! Dallas Mavericks' own.
Keyshawn George, who plays for Washington, who's pretty good. He's the one who went to Baylor.
Yeah.
A lot of hair. Actually, was it Baylor or Miami? I think it was Miami. 6'7". Terrence Shannon Jr., Ryan Dunn, Isaiah Collier. I like Isaiah Collier. Baylor Shireman, who I think just got a contract from the Boston Celtics. He was the 30th overall pick.
Dalton Kanek.
Okay. Talk to me.
Is averaging 4 points a game this year.
How many minutes?
He is averaging 10.5.
So he's playing about two quarters. He'll play, so that's about four minutes every, like a second and third quarter, maybe a minute or two in the fourth.
So last year was his rookie year. He played 19 minutes a game and averaged 9 points a game. And this year he's played in 51 games. I mean, he played in 78 of the 82 games last year. And I want to say one or two of those when the trade went down and then he got sent back. So, I mean, this kid was on pace to play all 82 games last year. Like I said, played
the
19.
That's a pretty good accomplishment to tell your kids. Like, I played all 82, whatever. I was obviously good enough as a rookie to play every single game.
And they traded me and still didn't want me. So, how's that feel? So, he's played in 51 games this year, playing 10.5 minutes. He's shooting 31% from three. He shot 38% last year.
You might even say the second round was better. Kyle Filipowski for the Jazz was the 32nd overall pick, which feels weird. It feels like he's been in the league longer than that from Duke. He just got in the league.
Was he the one that was being groomed by like a 40-year-old?
I think so. No, I think you're right. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure that was Kyle Filipowski. Mm. He's only been in the league 2 years. Tyler Kolick, who Knicks legend. He's the one who hit all those threes like a couple weeks ago and had them come back.
Okay.
He was 34th overall pick. Johnny Furphy.
My boy!
We went all that dunk. 35th overall by the Spurs, funny enough. A.J. Mitchell, who's killing it for the Thunder, just got a contract. He's another Thunder guy. 38th overall. Jalen Wells, 39th overall. And then I'm trying to think, Jamal Shedd from Houston, 45th overall. 46th, Max Christie's brother, Cameron Christie. 47th, Austin Reeves' brother, Antonio Reeves. I made that up. I don't know if he's actually Austin Reeves' brother.
That didn't sound
and then,
accurate.
Of course, the 55th, the most famous 55th overall
in the
pick,
history of Bronny James. Really life is Bronny James. All right, so you heard from Emmett Smith talking about, hey, if you don't have who you want at 12, trade back, get more guys. Trade back and get more guys.
Instead of picking a guy you absolutely hate.
I mean, I get it. I'm with him on that. This is Emmett, what he had to say on in case that defensive guy you want isn't there. What about if Jeremiah Love is there at pick 12?
I'm only taking defense. I love my running backs right now. And if I get Jeremiah Love, ain't going to fall to 12. And you ain't going to. If he does, well, that might be different. But do you really need a Jeremiah Love?
No.
So you've been enamored.
Unless he's Emmitt Smith.
No, you've been enamored. You're being enamored because he's there. But do you really need him? If you don't really need them, why take that? So you know what you need. Stay disciplined to what you need and then just build everything else around it.
Look, if by some freakish stretch of the imagination, Jeremiah Love is available at 12, there's no way three or four teams aren't blowing up your phone to come get him.
That's my thought process. Yes, you could be, we could take him, this, that, and the other. No, I just think that means you're going to get great trade value. Somebody's going to trade up, and now all of a sudden, a pick you were already going to trade out of now becomes, I can pick up maybe a one next year. And instead of just moving back a couple picks, maybe somebody will give me their one to move up and go get this guy. Please, go ahead, do it. We don't really need a running back, so if you want to overpay because he slipped, we will take advantage of the slippage.
I mean, if he falls to 10, I could see. I mean, well, here's the thing. If he slips to 9, if he's on the board at 9 when the Chiefs are drafting, I could see a trade being moved up where somebody goes and gets him at 9.
It's going to get weird if he doesn't get picked at 4. He's been mocked to 4 by the Titans a lot.
I've seen that. I've seen the Giants as a popular pick for him to go to, which if I'm the Giants, I wouldn't hate that move.
If I like the mock that was put out the other day by, I think, Peter Schrager, mm-hmm. because of him kind of not just going off of his gut, but more what do teams do historically? What has he heard? And we can bring it up later in the show because I do want to go through it. He had them draft an offensive lineman. I think that just makes the most sense. Like, I know it's sexy, Sonny Styles, Jeremiah Love, but
yeah.
With young Jackson Dart, having a pile driver, mover of an offensive lineman for him to clear the way for whoever's back there makes more sense than let's just load up on skilled players and have nobody that can block, and now our quarterback's hurt again. You know your quarterback's mobile. You know your quarterback's injury-prone. Like, just getting the best offensive lineman feels like the smarter long-term thing. And we got to remember, Fred, who's the new head coach over there? Harbaugh.
Yeah,
loves offensive linemen. So I think that just makes more sense. I think it's fun to do skill players, but I would feel pretty confident if it was I had to put my own money on putting the Giants taking an offensive lineman. So that just means more skill players.
I don't hate that either, though. I'm with you on that. I could totally see that as well. I mean, look, you can't go wrong either way. I think you're going to go offensive side of the ball, whether it is a playmaker. And to
I could see them going defense, though.
Well, look, now that Dexter Lawrence wants out,
I am so excited for this draft because other than one, there is a you don't know the direction. The Jets could literally go any position. I've even seen Jeremiah Love mock there because even like they could go any position. The Falcons could
if
go.
They went Jeremiah Love it too. That
wouldn't
be
make
the
sense.
Most
but I'm saying
absurd.
The Falcons can go any direction. They could go offensive lineman. They could go skill player. They could go defensive
well, the Falcons
player.
Falcons don't have a top.
Not
10
Falcons.
Pick.
Cardinals. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the bird. The Titans could go any direction. The Giants, the Commanders, the Saints, your Chiefs. We've talked about tight end. We've talked about running back. Mm. We've talked about DB.
They won't go running,
not running back,
but
receiver. I meant
tight end. To me, tight end and cornerback are the two positions
I've seen receiver mock to y'all a bunch.
Give me a Kenyon Sadiq. Emmett. How long does Dak have? This is Emmett cut number 7. This is Emmett cut 7. How long? And you know why I didn't tell you? Because I had said in my head that I was going to go what clips to go, but I didn't tell you.
You didn't tell me.
Yeah. You guys ever done that situation? You ever had that situation where you think you're responding to a text message and you respond to it in your head, but you don't actually type it, and then you go on with it about your day?
Nope, I haven't hit that age yet.
That's never happened to you?
Nope. I'm really good at responding and communicating.
You're at it. Yeah, I'm done with you, bro. You?
That's funny. It happens to me.
There you go.
I have ADHD.
And that's ridiculous. How long does Dak have left as a elite quarterback?
I think as long as he stay healthy, he can play just as long as any other quarterback that you have out there right now. And I think he can be as effective as he's always been. He's always been effective. Last year, the guy was a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about that, but everybody wants to talk about, well, he's a top 5 quarterback, but he hasn't made the playoff. All that is not on him.
Yeah.
When you have a sorry-ass defense that we had last year, let's be honest with each other. When we have a sorry defense like we had last year, and you have Dak putting up the numbers that he put up last year, and you have a running back here running the way he ran last year, and you got kicker. You don't have a defense.
Yeah.
Defense wins championships. Defense will get you into the playoffs. What I just said was, if the defense improved 20% mm-hmm. of what they were last year, we win a little bit more games. and we make the playoff, I believe, and we might be able to make a difference in the playoff.
Defense was sorry.
Defense was not good. All right, real quick, Emmett number 9. What do you think about Troy Aikman's role with the Dolphins, and why isn't his relationship with the Cowboys better?
You know, I don't know why. I don't know if there's any – I don't know any background around that. All I know is 8 is going to take to Miami championship ways.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what Miami is missing. They're missing the championship ways of what the Cowboys bring to the table. And the Cowboys' way of championship ways obviously was in the 90s. No one knows that better than Troy Aikman and maybe Jerry Jones and former players. What he takes to Miami, it might be the right kind of mindset. And I think it's the mindset that we have to look at sports through the lens of whose mind are we looking at it through. And that mind would be reflective of how everything falls out onto the football field as well. That's one reason why we talk about Jerry Jones. That's one reason we talk about how the Cowboys has lost so much. It's about the mindset of the organization, the mindset of the operations of the football team and the head coach and the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinator. The mindset of what style offense are we running, what style defense we running, and how our special teams perform. The mindset of what players we going after this year and what we absolutely need. I'm not trying to go buy a Ferrari when I don't need one. I'm not. Give me a Lamborghini because I need a Lambo. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do those things. I'm trying to get what I need so we can go where we're trying to go. And that reinforces the mindset and the thought process around why we do what we do. Miami need to have that. They haven't had that in forever.
Yeah.
Ever. I think the last time they won a Super Bowl was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 70s. Now, you're talking about the Cowboys. No one wanted to talk about Miami.
Right.
Now, look how long it's been. You're talking about a drought. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Abraham's wife, Sarah, was old when that happened. Come on now. That's about how long it's been. And so you talking about bringing Troy Aikman in, it's the mindset that would, if they listen, because this is why humility is such a great thing in the world. When you've done it for such a long time the wrong way and you think you're doing it right, you need somebody to come in and shake it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you have to trust that person understands what they're doing.
Right.
And that's hard for billionaires to deal with.
I know.
Because you can't tell a billionaire he's wrong. That's why he's a billionaire.
Well, when you think about it, it has been 50 years. I mean, and I get it. I mean, it's easy for us to poke fun at the Cowboys because it's been 30. But good God, could you imagine being a Dolphin fan? Not winning a – I mean,
my bad, Vernon.
You have a – shout out to our boy Vernon. It takes a special kind of person to want to be a Dolphin fan.
You know what I was just thinking about, though, in fandom in general? We got to go to break. It's just a good thing to be a fan of a team. Whether your team's good or bad, having a team that you can know that you
ride or die
you know the players, you know the organization, you know the mantra, it makes it that much more enjoyable to watch. When you don't like any team and you're just watching,
yeah,
it doesn't hit the same. Because when they lose, you're like, okay, I'll just go to sleep. I want to go to bed mad because my team lost. That's how invested I get. And that's what you have to do. You have to have a team to do that.
Yeah, don't get me started on March Madness. All right, when we come back, Gen Z strikes again for all the wrong reasons. Fair foul. Coming up next. Love me some Longhorn Steakhouse. Huh? What's that face for? You don't like Longhorn?
We're going to get into it where I would rather make something myself.
Fine. We haven't got into it in a while with Trevor, so I don't mind it.
I'd rather make – I mean, you know, hello, Avi.
Did you just Avi me?
I did. Yeah,
yeah,
I did.
You should, maybe you should stay on Snapchat.
I did. Like,
that's a child thing to say. I don't want
to. Well, I've got children. How about that, Trevor?
Avi, you do.
He recreated.
Avi, I do. Damn right I do.
I just would rather make a steak myself. That's all.
So you never eat out?
I eat out. It's just I prefer.
Where do you eat out at?
Tell me how long are we from Longhorn going under, just like Razoo's?
What?
Remember last time you brought this up? Razoo's went under. Let's be careful what we talk about.
I think we did it to Joe's Crab Shack too. They probably were already.
Here's the thing, and you know the funny thing about Razoo's.
That's when times were good. When Joe's Crab Shack was in business and booming, times haven't been good since.
You know the thing about I was never a big Joe's Crab Shack guy. Nah, I don't mess with Joe's Crab Shack like that.
I was in there.
That said,
slushies
regarding Razoo's. See, I thought that they had reorganized during bankruptcy, and that would open them back up. Because
did somebody buy them? I mean, I don't.
I thought somebody did, but the thing
is, Red Lobster.
They're fine. Okay. But the Razoo's in the Ville still closed.
Okay. Well, I mean, but you can still franchise those things, so it could very well be that. Whoever franchised them didn't want to keep
just
it open.
And maybe the Louisville one just fell by the wayside, which is sad for me. Sad for me. Now, Twin Peaks, which also filed for bankruptcy, still open.
Are you going to help? Really? Are you going to help? You know, keep them in business?
No, I'm not a Twin Peaks guy.
Me and Tangerine have been going to the same two restaurants because they have vegan friendly things: Yard House and 54th Street, and they're also both close. To us.
54th Street's pretty good.
I don't mind
54th Street.
I had never really been to either, but I like both of them. They're both super kind of sports bar casual places. I can always watch the game.
No, they
there.
Absolutely are.
And there's plenty of TVs, and neither of them are really there. Yardbird gets kind of busy because we go to the one in Addison by Sidecar Social and that whole little district, if you will, down there. It gets busy down there, man.
Speaking of getting busy, well, I'll tell you who's not getting busy. Gen Z. Is not getting busy. Tell you what.
They just survey Trevor?
What have we done?
Are you even Gen Z?
Nah, he's a millennial.
I'm a millennial.
He's a millennial. And I blame the parents. I really, really do. I mean, this is just devastating. Gen Z is having less sex than any generation before them, with researchers labeling them the least sexually active group of young adults in modern history. Surveys show a growing number of young people are delaying or avoiding sexual relationships altogether. Experts point to several factors driving the shift, including increased screen time, social media, mental health challenges, here we go again, and changing attitudes toward relationships. Many Gen Z individuals are prioritizing personal growth, career, and emotional well-being over traditional dating norms. The trend is reshaping conversations around intimacy, relationships, and modern lifestyles as society adjusts to a generation redefining what connection and fulfillment look like. Fair or foul, Gen Z doesn't want sex. Gen Z has been labeled as the least sexually active group of young adults in modern history.
I'm not going to lie. And Tolos, I'm going to need your help on this because I don't have the best memory. I feel like you've done this story before, like word for word, that Gen Z doesn't have sex.
Well, it just keeps coming out.
I mean, a lot of it has been like, hey, people aren't having sex anymore. And not to say that this is the same exact story. I'm not saying that.
The story didn't go away.
But it's.
I feel like I've heard this story, though, from Fred. Like, Gen Z's not dating.
Well,
Gen Z's not having sex. Gen Z's not drinking.
Because I think it was the 21 to 28 year olds or something like that last time. I feel like we heard that.
Yeah, because we said screen time.
It's the archive. Look, this came out on March 20th, the Archives of Sexual Behavior. I mean, look, it's basically saying the same thing over and over again. Like, we keep giving you guys chances to go out and fornicate, and you just won't do it.
There's more to life than fornicating.
No, I'm not saying there's not.
I think you're hating on Gen Z.
I'm about
to start standing up for
us. I absolutely am.
No, one time was okay. One time was funny.
Yeah.
But now this is about a month in a row.
You guys are
fair or foul. Why Gen Z sucks.
Yeah, well.
I don't like Gen Z.
Guys, I mean, you know.
We're different.
We've got mental health challenges.
See, look at that.
I'd rather look at my phone than go out and touch to a woman.
See? See, that's the bro and Fred coming out right there.
No, that's called
sex with a girl. Stop having feelings, bro.
That's right.
Just eat some protein powder run through a wall.
You tired of mental health? Go out and get some. That'll make you feel better.
But what if you can't?
That's a you problem. Get off your phone. Put your phone down and go talk to somebody.
I mean, you don't got
to
yell at me. I know.
I'm not yelling at you. You're coming at me. I'm just and look. The research shows it.
I know, but it seems to be the only research you find is against Gen Z. You don't got find some stuff against millennials. Find some stuff against millennials.
I'm trying to help
you guys. Let's find some reports against millennials.
Find one.
Yeah, we will. Won't be
find
hard.
Find one.
Won't be hard. Y'all just can't read them. We'll find them. We'll find them.
Yeah, well, when you guys are over there crying in
look
the corner.
Look at him. Look, you see? You can even tell. You can tell when he's about to start.
Well, look at him. Crying in the corner.
You don't think millennials were ever sad? You think every millennial is just happy?
Yeah, you know what we did? We got drunk and had sex.
No. Not this
all
one.
All right.
That's what we did.
I cried.
That's what we did. What? Boys' night out. Let's go. My boys down and out. Let's go. Let's rally. Rally time. Here we go.
I'm just got a lot of deja vu. I feel like I've heard this segment.
Yeah,
before.
You probably have. And guess what? The reports keep coming, okay?
Keep coming.
It's because Fred set it up. I always think it's gonna be something new. He's like, just wait, fair and foul. Then it's Gen Z sucks. Yeah. And they're not going outside. They're on their phones.
I don't make the news. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay?
Kids aren't putting peepees in vajayjays. Let's watch out.
Yeah, that's right.
I would say a little bit of spearheaded media, though, from Fred. Like, you're gathering all of the same thought processes. I don't think you're seeing the other side.
Look. What's the other side? Because I haven't seen the one that says you guys have sex all the time.
That's my point.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I'm saying when you like stuff of a certain thought process, you're going to see a bunch of more stuff supporting that thought process.
You just keep making excuses for your people or what?
Say I am. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying.
Sounds like. I mean, look, I'm just putting out. And look, I got Gen Z kids. Uh-huh. I'm just telling you.
I haven't seen a positive report from Gen Z.
Well, put something out. When I get a positive Gen Z report, I'll read it tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find some millennial ones because I was like.
Find one.
I was like.
Find what? Find a millennial one.
I enjoy laughing at Gen Z as well. I thought it was just one or two, but it's now that I think about it, my brain just clicked. Like, this has been like a month straight of just Gen Z.
It has not been a month straight. It has not been a month straight.
3 weeks.
No, it hasn't. Yeah.
2 weeks, 6 days.
Maybe two.
I started. I said, Tolos, if I'm wrong, if Blake is just tripping, text in.
Typical Gen Z, let's just deflect and make excuses for why we're not getting laid.
About to write another article right here.
Seriously.
No, I agree. Yeah. I was more just talking about the surveyor, the conversationalist.
Hey, I'm sorry that this is less than 2 weeks old, this data. I'm just going by the data. Okay?
Yeah.
Fred's got his own Reddit on Gen Z.
I know. I think he's like Gen Z screws and he's in the forums.
He's got his own Reddit. Send me Gen Z crap.
I really don't.
What do you think about this text? Fred, kids are expensive and Gen Z is having to deal with it, with what's going on in the economy. A lot of people just don't want to have kids, a.k.a. sex leads to kids.
Oh, so we're by that rationale. Every time you have sex, you have kids.
No, of course not. But your odds do go up when you start having sex. So they're like, hey, the economy's really bad. This isn't a good time to have a house or a kid. So I'm just not going to have sex.
I don't know. Take the measures so you don't get them pregnant.
Okay, easier said than done. You know.
No, I mean it's really not that. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's
really
why
not.
You don't have sex. That's the best measure. Abstinence is the best way not to have a kid.
So you're so this generation's so idiotic at having sex.
See, why do we got to throw the I word out there?
When he was in high school, is abstinence the best?
He
doesn't like it.
So I don't want to have kids.
Why do we throw the I word out there?
So I'm not, because you know what? That is lame.
I disagree.
Well, it's expensive to have kids.
It is expensive.
Okay, well then pull out. Wear a condom. I mean, what are we talking about here?
So do you think every guy that's ever pulled out has never had a kid? Every single guy?
I bet the odds aren't as high as you think.
Do you think the odds are higher in pulling out or not having sex at all for having a kid? Which one do you think the odds are lower?
Wow. Gee, I probably not having sex.
So that's why. So abstinence is the best way to make sure it doesn't happen. Just because you pull out or have on a condom or she's on birth control, all three of those have shown kids
you know
still
what?
Happen.
If that's your rationale, then fine. If that's, I don't want to have kids.
I was going off one text. Someone just said they don't want to have kids and the economy is bad.
You know what? Guess what? We've had worse economies than this.
Agreed.
Okay, so.
But I think we're all so.
Fred lived in the Great Depression.
Just tell me you can't get women, period.
I can't get women. But Gen Z is also privy to this economy being bad in a more quick way. They can go on their phones and look at the stock market. They can go on their phones and look at yada, yada, yada. Maybe back in the day, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, you just had to. Yeah, I guess it's bad. I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out when we get there. We have all the now, whether we use the information to our uses that we should, that's up to
us. That's fine. That's fine. But maybe we don't. You know what? If that's their rationale and their headspace, then maybe we don't need them.
procreating.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We don't need it.
We don't even need them.
You know what? Stay on the sideline. Go look at your
phone. I think this is just generation hating. Mm-hmm. Millennials hating on that, and I'm sure boomers hate on you guys, and then it all just trickles down. The generation after is so dumb, can't do anything right, doesn't do the weight.
We've got facts, we got stats that show it.
That just says they didn't have sex. That doesn't mean they're worse.
All right, we're late on it.
Oh,
she's late.
It's a sex joke.
Coming up next, is there really a debate as to who the rookie of the year should be? I think it's pretty clear at this point. Don't we all agree? Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.